Mecca fans, and welcome to another edition of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show, and we mainly focus on Paul's solo career. So with me, as always, is my cousin, David Gargolino. David, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
It's going really well. How's the weather over there?
It's doing all right, considering it's Michigan and almost December.
Right. Well, it's almost December over here as well, and it's starting to get a little chilly in Arizona. But you know, when you're a little used to it, you know, 60s and 70s over here starts to get a little chilly once you adjust to the weather. It's kind of funny, the being in Michigan for 31 years and then Chicago for 6, and then coming to Arizona. I don't know if I told you this, but like the first December, we moved here in April. And the first winter we were here, it's December and it's 70, 75 out, and people are wearing, you know, jeans and windbreakers and stuff like that. And I'm laughing my ass off because in Detroit and Chicago, as soon as it hits the 50s and 60s, we're in, you know, wife beaters and shorts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, everybody's outside celebrating. And, you know, and here, as soon as it hits the 70s, people are all bundling up. And I just didn't understand it. I thought it was hilarious. And then now fast forward 6 years, and now, you know, it's hitting the 70s and 60s. I'm freezing my ass off over here. I'm like, no, that's not why I moved here. You know? So
yeah, you were saying earlier, oh yeah, it's a little chilly. I'm like, what? It hit the 70s?
Yeah, I know. Poor me. Yeah, 70s in November. Darn. But and did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'm still full.
Yeah. Yes, very true. You know, we keep saying, you know, we're not going to overeat before dinner. And then what happens? We end up overeating before dinner. And, you know, you get that first big full plate and you're looking at it and you're already half full. And you're, you know, just saying, how am I going to finish all of this? So you do. And the next thing you know, you're on the couch or the chair just ignoring everyone because you're just. You feel like a fat pig, you know. So, but with that being said, you know, it is that time of year where we want to, you know, give thanks or feel thankful for, you know, anything in particular. And we just want to spend a little time to talk about what we're most thankful for or from Paul over the last few years or so. And you got a little list on you there, Dave?
A small list in the back of my mind.
Small list?
So I'll improvise.
Very good. Well, maybe I'll get started then.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would say, the first thing, and I guess we can say probably say within the last 5 or 10 years stretch, you know, if you want to just leave it to that. I would say even though, you know, they're coming out very slowly, I would say, you know, the archives is probably on number 3 on my list. Four things I'm thankful for from Paulie. You know, like I said, I mean, they're coming out at a really slow pace. And even though the DVDs have been a little underwhelming, the audios on these special editions on the, you know, on the deluxe sets, I think have been really good. A lot of stuff that, you know, I haven't heard before, or a lot of people haven't heard before. Some of the stuff that I've really enjoyed is, you know, the outtake of Suicide from the first McCartney bonus disc. And then we got, you know, Road All Night from Ram on the bonus disc. And we also got Thrillington from the Ram set. It's great to finally get the full version of Junior's Farm on Venus and Mars. And we also got, you know, Let's Love and 4th of July, which we talked about, you know, a few weeks back. We also get a really cool 7-minute version of Rock Show on Venus and Mars that I thought was really cool. And then moving up to McCartney 2, we can almost make the original double album that it was almost going to be. There's only a couple songs missing. You know, hearing a song called Stop, You Don't Know Where She Came From, and then Something That Didn't Happen, which was the second half of The Pound Is Sinking on the Tug of War set, was pretty cool. hearing the Paul's only version on Ebony and Ivory, I thought was kind of cool. So yeah, I mean, but now that he's back with Capitol, maybe these sets will get out a little faster.
And Flowers and Dirt is still not coming out this year.
There we go. Dave's great face. Got an update?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. So what about you, Dave?
Well, Tom, I'll agree with your analysis of your thankfulness on that.
Well, I'm glad you're going to agree.
I guess my number three to be thankful for the last 5 to 10 years of him is him still being out there in the public eye and touring, though I can be critical of just the way his voice has been lately. That's either due to the aging process or him just touring just so much or giving all he has each night. I appreciate the fact that he has longer set lists now than he did when he started up again back in 2002. I mean,
Well, it's even longer back from Wings Over America in his prime.
This might be the longest in his whole career. I mean, which that's incredible. he definitely is giving, I mean, his tickets aren't cheap, but I don't think he comes through like certain towns more than once every 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So, you know, you could save up $100 and see a 2.5 hour show, 38, 41 song set list. And he'll play pretty much. That's the other thing I kind of appreciate, like kind of an underlying appreciation is his songs. He is picking some deep cuts, like Temporary Secretary the last year or so. And I mean, there's other ones I want him to play, but if you go back to his very first Drive and Rain tour, that was more like a hit sort of set list, and he's kind of dug deeper. And I think that's because he has kind of a band that is a little bit adventurous and they're not
they're flexible.
They're flexible. They're not afraid to ask him or propose and persuade him.
Yeah, I mean, I think didn't they want to do Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite? I think didn't one of them suggest that song?
Yeah.
Maybe. I think that might have been Rusty, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, and I'm going to agree with you. I mean, that's actually my number two. Still touring. And like you said, I mean, even though his voice is getting weaker, and he's still getting out there. His set list needs a facelift. Let's face it. I don't think we'll ever get the set list that I'm looking for, or you're looking for, or you know, the real diehard McCartney fans are looking for. So we're just gonna have to deal with what he's doing. And yeah, I mean, I agree. That you know, it's great that he's still getting out there. And that we're getting the little stuff like the deep cuts like Temporary Secretary, and he came out with Why Don't We Do It in the Road for the First Time on those desert trips, and songs like High 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 and Junior Farm. He's still doing those, and those are the songs that I don't mind him doing a lot. You know, it's the songs like Let It Be and Hey Jude and Maybe I'm Amazed and My Valentine that maybe needs to, you know, take a back seat. And maybe he should do Backseat in My Car, maybe, or something, you know, something. But he's not. So we're just going to have to deal with it
for the time being. You know, I think that Beatles and Paul McCartney are a rare thing. Is I don't see that with Elvis or The Who or other classic rock bands. Is like there's always a new generation coming up. No pun intended.
Which is another, I was going to say, which is, you know, a song he does from time to time as well.
Yeah. So he's always going to have those maybe 7 to 10 songs that are always, but I mean, honestly, if I hear Let It Roll one more time, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me roll it. I'm just going to, I don't know. though there's boring bits for me because I've seen it four or five times, but.
Right. He doesn't need to do, you know, Let Me Roll It anymore. I don't think he needs to do 1985 anymore. You know, it's nice to see him do things like Things We Said Today or Getting Better. You know, I still enjoy him doing I've Got a Feeling, stuff like that. But, you know, we've talked about it before. Give the 80s a little love, finally. I don't care if it's something like Spies Like Us or Press or No More Lonely Nights, but, you know,
it's a lost decade for a minute, but it was probably one of the most successful decades with, Tug of War album and Pipes of Peace. Mm-hmm. And I heard him play Ebony and Ivory at a sound check in Detroit, and I was hoping Stevie Wonder would have came on. He plays him in the sound check, but I think mm-hmm. the crowd would definitely love kind of a little bit of the 80s love.
Right, and that's another thing, too. You know, besides those 2.5, almost 3 hours, I mean, he'll do almost an hour full of sound check as well. You know, which could be, you know, also affecting the voice. Maybe if, you know, he brought that down a little bit, maybe to a half hour. You know, Ringo only did a half hour the other day, although his vocals aren't as physically or demanding as Paul's are.
So Paul's, he's in hibernation right now touring because I think he's making mm-hmm. a new album. So right. I'm really kind of curious how his voice is going to be probably in the spring,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which did take a tumble from last fall to this past year. So
right. So then your number two would be?
I'm still thinking. my number two is, here we go. He is never satisfied.
Okay.
Which could be to his benefit and to my not so benefit, because he likes to branch out and be relevant. And I think he's trying too hard sometimes, but I can't fault him. All right, here's a guy. I'll compare him to a guy that is kind of resting on his laurels and doesn't need to prove anything really, but is Jimmy Page.
Right.
He had he did some things in the 80s and the 90s with Page and Plant, and then he just disappeared. And I get it, he's been doing all the re-releases, but he never had a solo career sustain. Mm-hmm. He's always saying he'll come back, but it's like he's 72. So Paul is kind of on one side, a nostalgic act, like kind of what the Who are now.
Right.
But he's also still making records, which is kind of like right. what kind of Rush does or did, is you honor the past and still move forward, making albums even though they're not a public buying entity anymore, other than the diehards. So Paul still said he hasn't written his next Hey Jude or Let It Be. But mm-hmm. I guess that's up to us fans to dig deeper and go, he has written something on that level. But he's still always trying to write the next best song.
Right.
And I think he has.
Right, yeah, so do I. But he may never find out if a public, you know, thinks that, unless he has something that's in like a top five or a top 10 hit, which, you know, I highly doubt that he'll get on his own anymore. I mean, he needed the help of somebody who we won't, you know, name we won't mention here on the show. But, anyways, all kidding aside, I mean, he needed the help of a Kanye West to get back in the top five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but you're Paul frickin' McCartney, you know,
yes,
like, but that's the general public buying. I think we're going back in an era of singles and the album isn't the main focus anymore. And, you know, speaking in general sense, I think that's hurting the industry, but whatever, things go in cycles. So maybe that, you know, maybe that might come back again, but right. I appreciate him just not, I think he's pushing, still trying to push different genres and,
yeah, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem with him doing that as long as he's finding, I mean, I can bitch and say that, you know, I can't stand Kanye or I'm really not a big fan of Lady Gaga, but he apparently he finds some kind of
inspiration.
Inspiration or challenge to want to work with those people. So, I mean, I guess in a way I can respect that. So, and that being said, my number one would be new material. He's, like you said, he's not resting on his laurels. Although we might not like who he's collaborating with, he's still writing new stuff. He's still getting out there and working.
Well, you see him working. I think of this new album coming up, he's going to again work with like three or four producers.
Right.
So he was inspired years ago to work with kind of a producer that would challenge him. starting with Nigel in 2004.
Right.
And then with all the Mark Ronsons and Giles Martin and whomever. So he's, I think I appreciate that challenge of an outsider.
Yeah.
More than a relevant artist. Yeah.
Right, and I think maybe youth has kind of been like a little bit of a challenge for him as well with the experimental, with the Fireman side.
I love that stuff. I hope he does another Fireman album. If he came out with that next, I would love it.
Yeah, so I mean, whether or not if it's just for a soundtrack, for a song for a movie, or if it's a one-off rocker with Cut Me Some Slack, with the Nirvana guys. Mm-hmm. And even if it is a collaboration with somebody we don't care for, it's just great that he's still doing this. I mean, how many bands are out there touring but aren't releasing new material that's in his age range?
I go back to like The Who and Pete Townsend, I think, told Rush, why are you even wasting your time making another album? But you come to the heart of the matter, some of these guys are musicians that love creating. That's their art. Not necessarily only playing live for the money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's good too, but what I think it's a yin and yang. One drives the other.
Right.
You know.
Right. Absolutely. So, I love it. Keep wouldn't know, say what you want about the new song in the blink of an eye, or Hope for the Future, or even Kisses on the Bottom. I mean, I don't mind that stuff at all.
No.
I'd appreciate if he did more rocking stuff, and hopefully there'll be that stuff on the new album, just like there was some rocking stuff on the album New. So we'll see. So all we can do is
hope
for the future.
Oh, we're being punny.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So what do you got for number one?
My number one. Because this has been a rough year.
Okay.
And I'm going to knock on my IKEA wood.
Okay.
All right. I'm thankful Paul is still with us at age 74 and a half. Yeah.
That's good. I like that one.
That I don't have much more to say other than, I mean, I could elaborate. I mean, he's done so much. He still has energy. Him and Ringo. I mean, Ringo had a tougher 70s career indulgence than Paul, I think. But they got on the right path and ate healthy, and I think they kept loving. I think if Paul was single since Linda, I think he would have aged more. I don't think he would have had the drive, so I think that's his motivation.
And I think that's awesome. Go ahead.
Paul actually had heart surgery, I think, in 2009.
Mm.
I think he had a stent put in. I don't know. I might be paraphrasing it. He had a heart issue. This is sometime in 2009, probably before the summer tour, and he got fixed. But so I think he's monitoring his health.
Right.
And, I think we could get maybe 5 to 10 more years of him touring, I hope.
Right.
It might dramatically shift in how he's going to achieve that. I don't think I expect him to do 40 songs at 84 years old, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I could still see him going till, 77, 78, maybe. I guess it just still depends on how long he's able to keep himself in such good shape.
I mean,
I remember when we got to see, Willie Nelson live, and he would lift his hands and clap his hands, and it looked like he could fly away. He had such big bad underarm fat, but
I was gonna bring up like Tony Bennett, but Tony Bennett's not belting out three hours,
exactly. Same with acts like Van Morrison, strictly hour and a half. Tom Jones, he's still singing well, but he's not putting on a 2.5 hour show.
Yeah.
On every year, whether it's 3 to 5 months of the year. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good one is he's still with us.
Yeah. I mean, you go back 20, 30, 40 years, you weren't going to see 75-year-old rockabilly musicians, you know,
right.
playing for three
right.
hours. So,
yeah. yeah. Yeah, and the last thing I want us to do is have a show titled End of the End, because and we all know what that would mean. And unfortunately, if we ever have to do that show, that's probably what it would be called. But, you know, if I had an honorable mention in this, it would be that his songs, to me, and I think one of the maybe top two or three reasons that I enjoy Paul's music so much is that it's on the positive side. It's mm-hmm. about love, you know, and it's just the kind of stuff that you feel good about singing. You know, I love singing out loud, whether it's at work or at the car or at home. And it's just, it's my happy time. It's my happy music. And, you know, and I hope he keeps doing that.
I think we're at the tail end of the golden age of classic, the classic rock, the mm-hmm. 60s
oh,
and 70s.
Right.
And,
definitely. It's
going to, you know, this year has been rough, and I think the next couple of years are going to be even more rough, and
right.
that's just the nature of life, but,
right.
you know, it's going to be 15 years come Tuesday since George left,
mm-hmm.
and he was only 59 years old, 58,
right.
you know, so thankfully we have these guys now in their mid to late 70s, so.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you remember that, because if I'm off on Tuesday, I'll definitely probably be spending time with the concert of George and probably the documentary as well.
Yeah.
You know, living in the material world. Maybe even spinning an album or two. You know, I'm really hoping that that his son is working on the vinyl reissues, because I would really love to get my hands on a really good copy of All Things Must Pass on vinyl.
Did you ever find that one on eBay? Did you ever get that one? The
no,
original?
No. Yeah, no. It was like I bid twice on it, and then I wasn't going to go over $30
sure.
for it.
No, I don't blame you.
I usually have a set price in my head when I do the bids, you know. So just like when Ringo's Rotogravure was on eBay a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and then I think the starting bid was like $14.99 or something like that. I think you brought it to my attention.
Okay.
And so I put in a bid for 15, and then I put in a bid for 20, and then after that, I think it went for like $27 or something
okay.
like that. But I think, you know, 25 might have been my final offer, you know.
I guess I have one honorable mention.
Okay.
And that's for everyone who's been listening to our show since August, and some of our hardcore fans that send me great stuff to listen to. So thank you, Don, again.
Right. Yes, very cool of you, Don.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, so what? And then I guess that could be our thankful list. So thank you, Pauly, wherever you are. So what else? And we spent some time with the 8 Days a Week documentary.
Mm-hmm.
You spent some time with the special features. I really got to see it once, so I'm really probably not in the right place to talk about it just yet, because I really haven't spent much time with it. So maybe the next episode or something like that.
Yeah, I would recommend to all the fans out there just to push play all, because it's almost mm-hmm. kind of like another cut of the movie.
Correct. Play all is the way to go.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Very cool. Yeah. Anything else you want to chat about, Mr. Garnaglino?
I think that's it. I don't know, you know, maybe update what we might be talking about in the upcoming future.
I don't know. So we've reached out to a couple guests for future episodes, and I'm going to start getting questions together for an interview with our first author that we'll be talking to, and maybe in a week or two we'll let the fans know who that's going to be. And then also I reached out to another person who we're big fans of, and he's also agreed to be on the show. So you can look forward to hopefully two interviews in the future, as well as what? So we thought about maybe talking about doing a show on the MPL.
Yes, that'd be my definitely the next go-to after the interviews or in between.
Yeah. One of our fans, Don, has suggested doing an episode on B-sides, which I think is a great idea, and I think I had that on my list to do already, so we'll definitely look into that. And probably the a Denny Lane and Paul McCartney collaboration show as well could be in the future.
Yeah, I think that might be a good 2017 opener.
Start of the year. Okay, cool. Yeah, spent some time doing some research on that. But yeah, I think that's going to be it for the rest of the year. So hopefully we'll have time to knock out these shows. I don't think my work schedule is going to be too hectic. I'm hoping to stay in town for the next month. We are doing some stuff, and I know we have to do Billy Joel in San Antonio in December. I know we're doing some shows in Vegas as well, but I know we'll be busy here in Phoenix, so hopefully I'll be staying here so I can focus on doing the show here with you, because it's definitely a highlight of my week.
Oh yeah, it's a good it kind of caps off the week.
Right? Very cool. So, and that'll do it for this episode of Two Legs. If you like what you hear, let us know. And if you don't like what you hear, let us know. You can check us out on our Facebook page, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Or you can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Once again, my name is Tom Hunyadi, and over in Michigan is David Gargolino. David, say goodbye, everybody.
Take care, everyone.